Well, welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is Presidential Primary Day.
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Super stock market plunge. Super.
Well, it was a huge stock
pandemic.
Market soar yesterday, yeah. But you know,
well, not a huge soar. It was the gain like 2% of losing 11% last week.
Actually, true. Actually, it was a 5% gain.
Really?
Yesterday.
Went up to 5 and then it...
And it was the largest single point gain ever. 1,200 points.
Really?
It went 1,200 points. Huh. And then it dropped another 700 today.
Or 800.
So for those of you and me who has money in those sorts of things...
Yeah, me too.
Don't panic. Don't panic.
Well, you just don't... You just ride it out. That's what they say.
Well, the thing is, not to run off on too many tangents here, but the thing is that anybody who actually has money in these various kinds of stocks and things, this past year has been such a boon. That in fact, if you even in my case, if you average out I lost over the last month.
Oh, yeah, you can't look at the month. You got to look at 5 years.
3 months, I'm still ahead of the game. So, hey, I ain't complaining.
No, if you look over 10 years, it's still... If you
it's
were in
the
still
yeah.
8%. You can't get that in a bank. You can't get that in the CD.
I'm just seeing some people walking down
the
street.
Did it say Bernie?
Yeah, vote Bernie.
Oh, I've seen that all over Cambridge.
I will tell you that this morning when I went to vote, Ward 6, Precinct 1, I got to witness a cop bringing the sign out
that one of these Sanders people had
brought into the poll.
You're not supposed to, right?
He wasn't supposed to. He somehow thought, well, we don't have to play by everybody else's rules because, you know, man, we're the people. And then he took the sign away. Honestly, if I was a cop, I would have put the cuffs on him for that.
Yeah. It's the people around him that make it so hard. It's just like they're so... anti-women, all of you Bernie people that didn't vote for Hillary back in 2000, shame on you. That's all I can say. Shame.
So maybe we got to create a new phrase instead of he really gives me the willies, it'll be he really gives me the Bernies.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, I'm not commenting on any of it. I'm not happy with any of it, but...
Listen, I've said it before. I rather steadfastly ignored all of the presidential debates. I was aware of what was happening.
Oh, no, I was very informative.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm sorry. As a political animal type person, how can you not watch the
debates? I'm a little more focused on the local, honestly. But the thing I figured I'll eventually tune in, and then now I'm tuning in. Okay, and I have to say, any kind of sense of cynicism I had has actually been somewhat eased now by watching, you know, when push comes to shove, some candidates, you know, basically giving up their campaigns and sort of, moving in good directions.
You think their arms were turned behind their back? I mean,
no,
I understand because they want unity and it makes sense. And Amy might want a VP slot, although, as I said to you before we were on the air, I think to balance the ticket, if it does happen to be Biden, he's going to have to choose Elizabeth because she's sort of closer to a progressive, whatever you want to call these people. That's terrible, these people. I consider myself progressive.
I don't know what the word means anymore.
I know. Well, now liberal is not good enough.
Well, let's see. I don't like
and
the...
And there's moderates,
yeah,
and now
the
it's progressive,
of all this
far, I know, it's ridiculous.
Me. To me, progressive, I by default view that as pretty hard left. And liberal
absolutely, because that's been adapted...
Left. And moderate is sort of in the middle, you know?
Well, I guess I'm a moderate liberal, whatever.
Historically, the progressives were like the Eugene Debs crowd or whatever, who were pretty close, basically socialists or worse. And I don't think that's really changed. I think locally, when people use the word progressive, it's sort of almost sort of a term of snobbery. You sort of, we're progressive as opposed to you regressives.
Oh, right? I haven't heard the word progressive, but
back in the days of the Cambridge Civic Association, it was progressive government that works. What it basically means is we don't like you other people, So anyway, so I've always had a bit of an issue with the use of that word. So anyway, that's me.
I don't like polarization. I don't like conflict. And I think that was the whole purpose of Pete and Amy. And
I agree.
Beto came on and
Beto
started
O'Rourke,
speaking Spanish.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish Biden was more appealing to me. I think somebody I heard on the news today say something. Someone called in and said she thought he had dementia, like Reagan did in his end years. Who knows? Because he's. But you know what? He won't run for. if he is the nominee, he won't run for more than 4 years. I mean,
I think what you've been seeing, though, I think in a lot of media, social media, is, you know, especially now that it's sort of coming down to the hard matters, is that there's a little bit of scorched earth politics taking place. So, well, for example, the Sanders people were floating, you know, the point of view at some conference of some cranky person who basically was characterizing Elizabeth Warren as a right-wing zealot.
Oh.
I mean, it was really harsh. And then all the Bernie bros were just replicating it.
Where was
sending
this?
Google it. You'll find it pretty fast, actually.
But you can't believe everything on the internet.
No, it's basically one person's opinion. But the thing is that, you know, it was a person who's supposedly well-known, though I never heard of her. And it was a person I think had a bit of a grudge against Elizabeth Warren. I think
it's a woman that did this?
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, she's sort of part of one of these.
She probably hated Hillary, too. She probably really hated Hillary. She hated Elizabeth. She called Elizabeth right wing.
Right. But the thing is, why am I seeing it now?
Yeah.
Well, because basically it's scorched earth time. Let's try to destroy Elizabeth Warren.
Right, because she hasn't backed down, and she shouldn't. I don't think she should.
Right.
She will be. I would vote for her in a second if she became the nominee.
So would I. So would I.
She's
honestly
a smart cookie,
I had a conflict between, you know, I had made a decision that I would only vote because of the way the rules work for getting delegates. You have to get at least 15%.
Right.
That if somebody didn't appear, and I never follow polls, but this time I follow polls.
Yeah.
And I said, and I never voted strategically in my life until this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I had to look at that, and I said, which of the candidates in Massachusetts are actually polling above 15%? Mm-hmm. And then it was basically a matter of which of them, other than Sanders, am I going to vote for?
Oh, so it would either be Biden or Warren.
But he's going to be either Biden or Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point.
Even my daughter said she would probably vote for Biden, because she liked Pete. So.
And I ended up voting for Biden, but the thing is that it was largely because I'm looking at the country now, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's important because Elizabeth Warren is not going to have the delegates at the convention to do it.
But she'll have enough, maybe,
to have a lot of influence.
Have voice. So.
So I hope she gets a lot from California.
You know what I heard today, which is really disturbing, that Biden has one field office in California? I mean, to me, that sounds... But, and it's... where Warren has been all
She's
over that state.
Cultivating it,
Anyway,
the polls have been shifting dramatically.
And you know what, the polls were wrong in 2016,
But the thing is that if you're talking about a poll with a big concern in California with its 400-plus delegates...
Oh, 415,
That the vote would be so evenly split that Sanders would be the only one with over 15%, and he'd get all 400-plus delegates.
And I think they've had
people in California have been panicking about this.
Yeah.
And so I looked at the polls, and now I think Sanders was still ahead, but only by like 2%. And Warren was strong. Biden was well over the 15% threshold. So ain't going to be
around. This is where ranked choice voting should come into play in a primary with a lot of these people. And someone said that on the air too today.
You know,
I mean, it's like I could have had my second choice, my third choice be counted.
You know, one of the things that I said immediately after the November 2016 election is that people need to start thinking about the mechanics of democracy in this country.
Right. It's totally ridiculous.
Whether it's, if you want to have the argument about Electoral College, which I think is a discussion we all ought to be having.
Absolutely.
And the thing is the way the parties actually develop a nominee, I have said this so many times to people that... Yeah. You know, there were 17 Republican candidates in 2016. The one with the highest unfavorability ratings was Donald Trump. And he ended up
just because he got 30% or something, or not even.
Because of the winner-take-all elections.
Right.
Especially in the early primaries.
I know. It's crazy.
And then it sort of steamrolls from there. At least the Democrats
don't do winner-take-all.
They do not do winner-take-all.
Right.
But the thing is, even these 15% thresholds, if you have more than three candidates, you start running into real severe problems.
Right.
It's one thing if the purpose of having a threshold is to eliminate fringe candidates. I get that.
Right.
But the thing is that if you've got, if you had, as we did, like 8 to 15
Well, on most ballots, it was at least 8.
Yeah.
People dropped out, the people voted for in early voting.
Yeah.
And if they had ranked choice voting, they may have had a chance to at least vote for someone that's still
voting. Right. When they would do the tabulation, they would say, well, this person's off the ballot now, so...
Well, they'll still be counted.
Right, but the thing is that if
what
if
do they
a candidate,
do with that?
Well, in a situation like that, one would hope that if a candidate has officially dropped out, they could say, I would like to have my myself declared ineligible to receive delegates.
Oh, but that's later on. They would still get the delegates tonight.
It depends on how you do it.
Well, that's interesting.
But there are ways to do it. The only point I want to make about that is these are the types of discussions that people ought to be having. But what my prediction is?
Right.
They'll go through this process. We'll actually have a presidential election. I have no idea how it turns out. And then 1 week later, nobody's going to talk about any of this anymore.
I know.
And the damn parties are just going to go back to same routines.
Although ranked choice voting is gaining more popularity, and hopefully this primary will prove to people that you better do something.
Maybe that's the good that comes of this. Yeah. I don't know. But
I don't know.
But it's very infuriating to sort of watch some of these things. Or even people who are serious supporters of candidates like Buttigieg or Klobuchar before they dropped out in California saying, I have to vote strategically because if I don't want Sanders, I have to vote for somebody who's not my first choice, and I only have one choice allowed to me, and people are forced into the situation.
Yeah, it's interesting because people that did not vote early, and there's several states that don't have early voting. In fact, this is the first time Massachusetts had early voting for a primary. That's what is that true?
It may be so. I actually went up to the election commission. I was asking how the numbers were for early voting.
Oh, did you get it?
They told me, but honestly, I wasn't recording them because it wasn't that important to me. I was just curious. But so we've done early voting, but I think it might have been for the state election 2 years ago.
Right. This is the first for a national primary.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah, okay.
I think he said 80,000 across the state.
Did we do early voting for the actual presidential election in 2016? We might have. Yeah.
Oh, I think so, because... or did we just vote absentee? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
I think maybe we did, and this was the first primary that they did early voting, because usually...
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But, listen.
Well, if they do get above 15%, some of the people have dropped out, then they would have, probably, they could put their delegates to who they endorsed. Right?
After the first ballot, yeah.
So not till the convention.
Not till the convention, right. Exactly. So, anyway.
Yeah, interesting.
It's funny, people in this country, they love to say, we support democracy, but, you don't really support democracy unless you get into the trenches about the mechanics of democracy. Everybody should be obliged to understand
what I would like to eliminate
at least a little.
Is not taking 2 years to vote for a president.
Yeah.
The money that's been spent, Bloomberg aside, at least it's his own money,
right.
Millions of dollars that could go towards buying land for housing, could feed kids. I hate it all. I really, that whole aspect, other countries do it in less than 6 months.
I think that
Israel does it every other month.
I agree. On the expenditure side, though, it does occur to me, though, that you could say somebody like Bloomberg, who has a lot of wealth,
$500 million,
spend a lot of money on housing or this or whatever. That
which he already
great.
Does. He already but, does that. He's but, he's like worth a million.
Right, but the thing is that if you do that, and then we still elect the wrong president.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't know that it's necessarily a net positive in the end.
What is it?
I mean, the argument still is if you really do believe that you're actually the best person to become president of the United States, and that you can actually do great things in that role, then you may feel that it's a good financial calculation to drop an enormous amount of money under the hope that, in fact, maybe you could be the person who
It just should be done in a six-month period. That's all I say.
I agree with that.
It's ridiculous. Why? These are senators. They're supposed to be dealing with things in Washington, aren't they?
But, as I think I said last week, is that even if you said it'll be a six-month cycle, you can't really stop them from going out on the trail and exercising
No, but it wouldn't
rights.
Be, hopefully, the cover. I don't know. From a
purely legal point of view.
That's true. It's all...
The election didn't begin until the first caucus is in Iowa.
I understand, but they all announced January of the year before.
I know
before.
It. I
so
know it.
It's
like, a cultural problem now.
Really is.
It's...
I'm sorry.
If you like sports, tune into the Red Sox.
Oh, no, don't. You know? They lost today, the Yankees. I guess in a spring game, 9-1.
Yeah, but politics shouldn't be sports, and, you know, it's...
Well,
and it should be simply an election cycle, and it should not be this thing that just drags on forever and ever and ever.
Well, then you'd have to get rid of the media, and you'd have to get rid of TV and radio. You know,
one thing I will say, though, about the elongated primary process is that, you know, when I think about some of the candidates...
I don't mind the primary process. I mind the year before it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But, you know, I think about even in local elections...
Yeah.
Candidate forums tend to be kind of a bit of a waste of time, but the thing is if you do watch candidates when they first start doing it to when they finally come out of the process,
you see if they've improved.
They typically do mature somewhat.
Well, that's if you'd watch the Democratic debate, you would have seen many of the people.
And that's exactly what I am going to say, which is, which is that the candidates who declared for presidency early on, by the time they're coming out right now, there is a maturation process, in my view. And again, and I didn't watch them all as carefully as others, but the thing is, in my view, there is a maturity that is now being exhibited by some of the candidates.
Except one was
except
consistent.
Bernie
was consistent message, right or wrong, all the way along.
Yes, yeah. So I actually come out of this with a lot of respect for Amy Klobuchar, Tom Steyer, you know, Mr. Yang.
Yeah.
You know,
he's now a commentator on CNN.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, if
Tulsi Gabbard, you know, is still
she's still in there. You know, I got no issues with her, you know. Well, but she's not drawing enough to, you know, if she were to leave now, it doesn't affect anything.
I don't
really
think people even know that she's...
You know, so the thing is, you know, so this election cycle, whatever will happen. But the thing is that at least now I know that there are some people of stature in the national eye now who can be the leaders.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. So, whether it's Elizabeth Warren or
the encouraging thing
that
Bloomberg has said, the encouraging is that he has said if he is not the nominee, he will do anything to not have Trump be president again, which means he will back the Democrats. He will give money. He will keep giving money, and that's fine with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 So, you know, you make capitalism work for you, not again you.
Although, I don't know if he'd give it to Bernie, so.
Well, I hope he doesn't. But
you know, by the way, California will not have their results tonight. They take a long time for whatever reason. Do you know that? So it might be a week. I mean, they'll have a general idea, but...
Yeah.
Why is that? Do you know?
Not really.
It's just such a big state. I mean, Texas isn't...
And I don't think they have other things on the ballot for presidential
I know
primary.
They often have many. It's true, but I don't know. So anyway, stay tuned tonight. It'll be on all night.
I will actually tune in.
John King and his magic board, and then you've got...
I don't like all that technical...
You don't like... Oh, I love it when he touches that. I love John King and his magic board, and he goes into the county, and he blows it up.
Who is the guy?
You're just jealous.
Back in Bush Gore.
King was around then.
I know, but who was the fellow? He's sort of the one. He took like a little marker board, and he just sort of right out here, and he wrote Florida. And I'm trying to remember who the fellow was.
It could have been him.
It was Tim Matthews.
And Christmas. Did you hear he resigned? Did you hear that?
Yes,
whoa.
Yes,
right on his show. I missed that.
I didn't see that. I'll check it out. But
because of comments, he treated Warren and Bernie.
Right. I fundamentally think of him as a good man. You know, and he screwed up.
Yeah.
But we live in a time now where you're not allowed to screw up because... You're toast if you do.
Yeah, but he's been screwing up steadily, apparently. It wasn't like this bad sexual harassment thing at all.
Set him straight, but let him carry on.
Know.
You know, that's the way I look at it. I believe in forgiveness, you know. So
23 years, he had a long run. Interesting,
cool.
though.
Yeah.
All right, so local stuff.
Stuff.
All right, we talked a little bit about MIT and Corona.
Let's sort of get down to a couple of things that actually happened up at the Cambridge City
Council. That's what I'm saying. We have to get to the local.
Yeah. So there were two, not that everybody loves zoning petitions, but there are two that I think actually I find kind of interesting. One was when it's actually been kind of floating around. I think it was in its...
Third
iteration was the so-called, you know, it was labeled the Grand Junction Overlay Petition, but it was really Alexandria wanted to add on to where the Metropolitan Pipe site was down around on the bend of Binney Street, And but it got intertwined with Eversource's need cite another electrical substation. Yeah. And then, you know, in the midst of it all, and I don't even worry about all the fine details, the substation was going to end up on Focus Street close to a school, and
well, they
people
bought
didn't
it
like
from
it.
Somebody, yeah.
Right. So anyway, so it. But the truth is the way the law works is that if a power company wants to do it and they say we must do this, there's almost nothing a city can do to stop it. Mm. You know, they can't just say, well, I'm sorry, we're going to zone this so there can be no electrical substation.
So there's no ruling about being close to a school or anything like that?
Well, I mean, there may be some things, but ultimately when you go to the Department of Public Utilities, you know, and they say, we need this, it's necessary for, you know, power for the city and the region or whatever, they generally win those things. So I think this is actually, they were commenting on this at city council meeting last night. I think everybody's best of their recollection, this is the first time that anybody ever could basically moved the plans of a power company to do things. So, and there are a lot of people who deserve a lot of credit. So, anyway, it was the intertwining of the zoning issue together with the siting or re-siting of the Eversource power station, and there are some good people working behind the scenes, Tom Evans and the whole Cambridge Redevelopment Authority. Rob Reardon, our former city assessor, one of the best damn people I know in Cambridge, who's now retired from the city, but he's working kind of as a house doctor for projects.
I was wondering what his role was. Okay.
Yeah. And
house doctor.
He is a guy who knows how to make things happen.
And he knows how to bring people to the table.
He knows how to bring people to the table. He says, what can we do to make this work? Mm-hmm. You know, so a combination, and the Linden Park people, some of the neighborhood representatives
were very
helpful, and they were really supportive of the compromise.
They were the area that
And Boston working. Properties, who is the primary, they were the chosen
but
developer.
Isn't that who Robert
ago.
Went to? That he, was his idea, I think, to go to them?
Right.
I don't know.
I think that's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the thing is that if the goal was to move it across over into what they call the MXD district, basically the Kendall Square Urban Renewal Plan district, that's Boston Property is the developer. So that's who you go to. So yeah, maybe you could have looked elsewhere, but you know, like to the Volpe site, I suppose, which is MIT is the chosen developer now. Or you go to Boston Properties, and usually those negotiations.
Well, we have some land on the Volpe site too. Isn't it part of the deal? Is that we have some of it?
Right, but the thing is, it's a very, very recently, there was a lot of deal-making to come to an agreement about siting of this, that, and the other thing, and I think
so
it would kind of be a bit abhorrent to somehow just
so it's already been planned out, is what you're saying.
All that.
Okay.
Whereas Boston Properties has some properties like the Blue Garage, which has been there for...
Where is that again? They said it was a Broadway and Binney?
It connects Broadway to Binney. You
Broadway
can enter it either way.
Okay.
And, you know, I pass it every day. I see it.
Is that
right,
along the railroad
it's
station?
It's right next to where the new Akamai building is at Broadway and Binney.
I know where Binney is.
And so basically the deal is that they're going to take down the Blue Garage. They're going to move some or all of that parking underground, which to me is always amazing that they can do that.
Mm.
And they're going to push that down, and then they're going to put in somewhere in that neck of the woods in the Eversource substation. It's a lot of sort of hooking
How
up.
How much parking is there?
It's about 4 or 5 levels.
They're not going to put all that under.
Right.
They're
so
going to have to cut the
above,
parking, which is sort of in the
well,
that's what things have been happening.
But there's already contracts let out to all the property owners or the businesses throughout there. They have long-term contracts. You can't just take away a contractual.
So you're telling me you're going to have 500 parking spaces underground?
I don't know if it would be the same, but the thing is that...
Climate change? I don't know.
You can,
we'll see how that works.
But look, people, not everybody's coming on bikes, you know, so, you know...
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, I think they said they could make it work, and they're probably going to have to reduce space.
But the thing is that you can't expect, unless you're completely off the left edge, you can't expect Boston Properties to say, oh, sure, we'll deliver the site here for Eversource for nothing.
They
said, we'll make a deal here.
Yeah.
We think this is a good idea to change the configurations property anyway, and the days of the big above-ground parking garages, maybe we can think that differently. Mm-hmm. But they also want to say, well, listen, we would like to also do some redevelopment in that area and put in a couple of new buildings in there as well. So that's basically the way the how the costs are covered.
Was that, what was that 800,000 square
that's
feet
it.
Figure?
Two,
that's it.
Approximately 400,000 K buildings would be part of the deal. So you get you move the substation there. There's already a contractual obligation or a zoning requirement for the delivery of housing, and that's not going to change. So they're still going to be building new housing.
So you're saying it's the site of the garage that will have this development?
And environs. It won't be
okay,
exactly
I don't know
footprint.
Where there's any empty space around there anymore.
The,
so.
You know, if you go within the super blocks, there are nooks and crannies, and you can do things. I mean, if you look at what they've done along Ames Street, you know, we said, well, how are they going to fix it, fit anything in there? Now there's all this housing.
Who's the developer of the courthouse? Where did that end up? I'm just curious.
That's, now I'm speaking.
It's not Boston proper.
Okay. And
that's going to be, there's going to be a lot of construction down there. There already is.
The courthouse development is pretty isolated.
Yeah, but you got Volpe going on. You've got that.
And Volpe will be coming. Right.
And then Alexandria.
And then Alexandria will do that. So, yeah, there's another wave of development.
Don't go there unless you work there. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. It's Kendall. I know it's a big engine, but it's not very.
But anyway, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, again, the actual details of the substation, whatever. There's a lot of details to be worked out.
Right.
But the thing is the Grand Junction overlay petition approval, the ordination of that, was built on the happening.
So that will
that was
happen at
unanimously,
some point.
9-0.
Right.
So that can proceed.
Right.
There are some phasing, like, well, you got to do this first before
connecting
you can do this and that.
But, right.
You know, it's all part of, I think,
I'll
the letter of agreement.
I'll be gone probably by the time
need.
That's done. Right. I won't be riding a bike
in
100.
Actually,
I don't know.
This is going to actually happen in
the You think so?
The
bike thing
years.
They can do?
You'll start
all
seeing
right.
that happening in the next few years. Yeah.
Few years.
Well. Yeah. Right. Anyway, that wasn't the only thing that happened. But we got another 27 minutes to talk about all
right.
the
so
stuff.
We have another 20 seconds. So we will cover the other petition, the Harvard Square.
That's right.
Overlay,
will,
which is
that's right.
Interesting.
And we'll tell you all about the rings of Saturn and
Fresh Pond
meaning
apartments
of life
and
Fresh Pond apartments.
AAA ratings.
And AAA ratings and much, much more. So
okay.
anyway,
see you soon.
See you in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.